Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The stamp, the kick, it's been blocked.
Stadium and Gale.
Oh, boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
And Delatory.
Top of the top. Same corner, same time. We back at it. Seen Lagway at practice over the weekend.
Huh? Right, you just look like Jameis Winston when you said seen. You were like, seen it?
Yeah, bro. Lagway at practice, baby. How you feeling? How was your weekend, Nick? You was at the Florida Victorious. Open access to the practice. Wasn't a scrimmage. It was a practice. How was it?
No, first scrimmage.
How was your weekend? I'm sorry. How was your weekend?
Good. Got to see my boy Zika. We did a little pop up, had more than 110, I think, RSVPs. But it was a real chill environment at Cantina and Yeho for our members weekend. Had some coaches come through, thanks to like Jenny Rowland.
Nice.
JC Deacon, had to always say what's up to my guy JC, make sure I get those swing gator packages in the mail. Ooh. Yearly. Look at Dan.
You're not even a golfer, Nick. Like big golf guy. You're not.
I'll tell you what. JC Deacon, football recruiting enthusiast.
Yeah, we've talked
Eats
about it with him on the show.
Eats it up. Yeah. He loves it. Well, for the new listeners, we are growing. For the new listeners. That was cool Friday, and then Saturday, even a bigger turnout. People wanted to come and see practice. So it was a solid weekend for Florida Victorious. A bunch of new signups this week. If you aren't over there, I'm at practice every day, posting notes on what's going on. it's been fun, but yeah, it is. It's a lot.
You're a busy guy.
Busy moving around.
Nice. Dan, anything special? Concerts, benders.
Yeah, no meet and greets. No meet and greets. Was at the Braves game, and I appreciate
everybody
that sent me a screenshot of my giant head on TV. The Rays lost that game, but I sat right behind home plate with a client friend of mine, so that was a lot of fun to be there. That's the first time I've ever sat directly first row behind home plate. So thank you to all the listeners that let me know and reminded me that I do indeed have a large noggin. Not breaking news, but I do appreciate the concert reminders that I have a big head. But no, that was fun. And then Saturday, spent some time in St. Pete visiting with some friends. And then yesterday was just kind of a low-key day. Did get to play golf today. Got rained on, which happened right after I got a birdie. So I think that's why I didn't break 80 this time. But
I think you missed your putt for 79.
No, I didn't. I shot an 85 or an 86. You know, nothing to write home about, you know, but new course down in Lakewood Ranch, Colusa, if you live in the greater Tampa Bay area, definitely go check it out. But otherwise, pretty low key week, weekend outside of that baseball game. I ran into Velo for a minute, which was fun to see him. He was in town for the Chris Brown concert. Yeah, ultimately a great weekend and good to be back on the airways with you guys.
Country clubs and front row seats. Quite a weekend.
Quite a weekend, I mean,
just a quiet weekend. Just another traditional.
The quiet weekend.
Yeah, nothing out of the ordinary.
Breezy Bowl. Shout out to Velo for going to the Breezy Bowl. It's just too hot out there, bro. Like, you got to catch. I need AC, man. This is not the same sun I grew up in, bro. I don't know what's going on outside, man. But I didn't do a whole lot. My weekend's boring compared to you guys. What's up? You hit Velo up?
Yeah, I know. I've known he's a Chris Brown guy. I hit him up, and I was like, is that Chris Brown? He said, just sent back a goat emoji. And I was like, ah. Maybe if he didn't really love hitting women, and he hit me with that was 15 years ago.
It happened in Tampa. It happened right over there. Where my fingers
moved on. I ain't gonna lie to you, Nick.
I haven't moved on. I haven't moved on. You can't hit Riri and have me move on.
I think Riri may have hit him first. Not saying it was right. It was just a mutual fight. It may have been mutual. You know, nothing's justified, but. Kid makes great music, and I went to his show like last year, you know, front row with my daughter. I ain't gonna lie to you, you know.
And the one thing about
him, they're friends music, now, like Rihanna's forgiving the guy, and then the fans don't. She's forgiving him, I can forgive him,
And when he comes out with music, it's like, hey, by the way, here's a 49 track CD, enjoy it.
Yeah, it's too much. It's that album was definitely overwhelming, but. I think he is, man. I mean, that Rihanna killed his legacy, you know, and what he could have been. Like, his trajectory was like on some Michael Jackson type stuff. Nobody's gonna be Mike, but I think he would have been the closest thing to it. But that incident, Chris would have tried,
to beat him.
Jeez, Nick, can't do that. I thought Bruno Mars was on that trajectory. I think Bruno Mars kind of can still be, he just doesn't put out enough music to. Bruno's in his bag, just gambling in Las Vegas, racking up. Massive gambling debts and just performing there, but I thought that Bruno Mars would be the Michael Jackson of our generation.
Bruno's fire, bro. I rocks with Bruno. Good vibes, man. All right, let's move on from Chris, man. You're gonna get me canceled.
Yeah, we don't need to alienate the viewers. This is we do not condone assault on this podcast. Speaking
at all. Could you imagine Dan Benders if he was getting the Vegas residency bag that like Bruno is getting? Or that the magicians they're getting like $40 million in a penthouse.
Don't give me any ideas, Nick. Don't give me any ideas.
I want to see how those Vegas
stadium and Gale to the resorts world.
Oh,
I could see us. Do a Tiesto pool party during the day, the boys podcast in the early evening. Fry. Get our table for Zed at 9 and do it every day.
I can't do all that.
Bro, show's canceled. Well,
never mind.
We're canceled. Show's canceled. Into the show.
I'll let Resorts World. We're not interested.
$40 million, I can do it. I can do the party. I could do, you know, whatever on the strip down, except for like wild things. But for $40 million, I get my Bruno Mars on in Vegas for sure.
We're not there just yet. Do want to shout out everybody that's watching. Already got a couple hundred in by now. We'll probably get a couple thousand before the show ends. We got a lot to talk about today. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Helps us. Shout out to North Florida Cowboy. Just became a member and gave a super chat donation. So shout out to you. He wanted to play the song Goat Talk by Big Walk Dog. Not sure who Big Walk Dog is. I might be putting myself out there, but we'll listen to it. Shout out to everybody in the comments. We really appreciate you. Of course, Space Mountain shouting me out. And then Brandon Connell's here. So got a lot of great people. Spencer's here. So we appreciate everybody for watching. How's 25 doing with the Jags? He's doing well, man. He's up there. For the summer and fall, early fall, just getting an opportunity to intern with the coaching staff up there. So he'll be back during the season, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Jordan as he gets his feet wet and hopefully gets himself a coaching opportunity in the next few weeks, months, years, whatever it might be. We're rooting Jordan on, though, but he will be back for sure. But he's enjoying his time up there.
For sure.
Why don't you shout out Brunt at our Brunt Insurance, and then we'll get on with the program here.
Once time for the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services, man. Anything you need insured, from the panhandle to the keys, my man Greg can take care of you. Homes, autos, life insurance. If you have a motorcycle, RV, trailer, ATVs, anything that has wheels, my man Greg can take care of you. But most importantly, your life. And it's also just a reminder, it is hurricane season. You might be a little late to the, you know, to the calls if you don't have insurance, flood insurance. Make sure you're equipped in every capacity, man, during hurricane season. You don't want a storm to hit, your roof blow off, and then you find out you don't have flood insurance, etc. Hit my man Greg up. It's free. 954-589-2204 or visit bruntinsurance.com. The best of the best. Great customer service. You could get an actual person on the phone. Not a call center in India. Not a bot. You can get somebody at Greg's office. 954-589-2204. Big coverage, big policies.
Greg, what it do, baby?
There's a hurricane, maybe something brewing out there, a long way away, and the ocean is big, right? A lot could happen, but there's a meteorologist named Dennis Phillips here in town who I am a big stan of. And he said, don't worry, but just keep your eyes on it. So this is a good time to keep your eye on your insurance policy as well. So go visit Greg. We got a great show today. We're going to talk a little bit about fall practice. Nick, we're going to tap you in for that. We're going to bring On Three writer and a friend of the show, Andy Staples, on. And then we're going to end the show doing our position breakdown group, where we're going to talk about the linebacking group, which I know we're all very, very excited about. Also want to thank Shaw Automatic for your Super Chat donation. I really appreciate you for doing so. All right, Nick, practice started last week, and then there was an open practice scrimmage-like thing for Florida Victorious members. Not a scrimmage-like thing, just a practice. We got the chance to see a number of clips. One of them was DJ Lagway throwing the ball, and obviously we talked a little bit about some injury concerns that became, I guess, talked about last week and the week before. But, Nick, give us kind of the overview of what practice was like.
Yeah, it's interesting because, this is it's my 12th year. So 11 years, I've, only gotten those 15-ish minutes that the media gets. I've been to every practice that they've had this spring. So Saturday was just another one. It was cool to get into the swamp and cool for a lot of like our members to get to see a whole practice. And if you've been to football practice, like it's not as exciting as you think it is, because it's a lot of repetition. You're just drilling the same things over and over again. But each day is kind of different.
Sounds exciting to me.
I think the big thing is, would you want to watch FIU practice?
No.
Like nobody. Well, FIU, there is no FIU fans. It's just parents that cheer for that and students.
Yeah.
I picked FIU because that's where your daughter goes.
I just said, and she's wearing like probably Gator stuff on Saturdays, bro. I'll be honest with you.
Panther pride.
Wow. Yeah, at the game. Shout out to my daughter.
I cannot wait to clip that, Nick. I appreciate that. That's a good reminder. How far are we into this program?
That was a nasty rar. Shout out to my daughter. She got a gig working in the recruiting office down there, man, which is pretty dope. Down at FIU. Shout out to my homie KD Fletcher, the recruiting advisor. She's from the crib.
Is she gonna be like a host, or is she working in kind of administrative role, both game day
She hasn't even really figured out her role yet, I think. I think she goes back a week earlier than she's supposed to go back. So she's going back Sunday, and then she'll figure out her role. I know she's going to be working with the recruiting, and also she's in the sports science world. So she's going to be working with the strength, athletic strength team. Yeah, she'll be trainers. Working with both sides. Correct.
That's dope. So
she got hooked
up. That's awesome. So following in her Uncle Dan's footsteps.
Her Uncle Dan. I hope she's not doing benders, though. And you know, I got to keep off the bender roll, man.
She's about to be a noted safety on the IM flag football team.
That's right.
And then in the crew office.
70% of the world is covered by water. The other 30% by Raven Knowles. Anyway, Nick, back to practice here.
Anyway, it's good. I think a lot of what I get to see when I'm there longer is kind of just how guys are progressing, how guys are being used differently. I can't talk about like different formations, packages, stuff like that. But
you can do a cheek check, right? You can't talk about their package. You didn't talk about their cheeks. Oh, but play calling packages. My apologies.
Thank you, Dan.
If somebody asked about a meet and greet earlier. My mind was in a different spot.
We're getting demonetized.
it's a family show, man. I don't know what's going on.
Getting to see really the depth chart and where guys, you know, where there can be some mobility. Like if we go back, someone mentioned Aiden Warner. Like at this time last year, Aiden Warner was like fourth string and then beat out Clay Millen to be the third string. And then all of a sudden, injuries to Graham, injuries to DJ, you're starting. Kind of seeing how with DJ being limited, how Harrison and Aiden are kind of going back and forth. But then also getting to see like some of these young guys starting to, you know, you always talk about when does the light switch flip? It might take a guy a week. It might take a guy 2 years to kind of like get it and the game starts slowing down, especially some of these wide receivers. Talked about Dallas Wilson a lot, but I want to bring up, I don't think I've mentioned Nashawn Montgomery a ton. Talked to him.
Okay.
Talked to him.
Somebody talked about him on the show, but not you.
He doesn't wear gloves during practice. And I noticed that.
All-American.
And he was like getting on the guys, trying to pressure the other receivers to practice without their receiver gloves on. And I asked him after, because the kid doesn't drop anything. Catches the ball with his fingers. Not even with his hands, catches it away from his body, catches it with his fingers. Just if it hits his hands, it's coming in.
Use your hands.
Whether it's high or it's low. So I asked him, hey, do you?
Bullets.
I said, do you wear them in the game? He said, sometimes, but not really. And he goes, I definitely like to practice without them because it's harder to catch. He said, the gloves are like cheating. I go, yeah, but you're allowed. It's like legal cheating. But I've been super impressed with him in terms of a receiver. He listens to the assignment, whatever the name of the position is to receive. He doesn't drop anything. I don't know if I've seen him drop a single pass this camp. He had some great catches today. I think I agree with Billy. And I don't know if this is like a wild take because I think everyone or the consensus in Gator Nation is that this is the most talented team that Florida has. So much of it, in terms of wins and losses on Saturdays, is going to ride on DJ Lagway's health and what can he do and how available he is. Watching him throw on Saturday looked fine. I think it's just the calf and you're trying to manage that and be super cautious with that. I think if you're watching the NBA finals, shoot, what's his name? The guy from the Pacers.
Reggie Miller.
No.
Lance Stevenson.
No, it's there.
Larry Bird.
Yeah, how he dealt with the calf injury and people were like, people were getting on him being like, it's just a calf. Why is he doing this? Why is he acting like this? He's missing games. He's missing time. And then all of a sudden his Achilles pops. And that's the worry with a calf, is that you have a calf strain, all of a sudden you're putting more pressure on your Achilles, and a calf strain, which you can get off of it, rest it, and it gets better, or try to push through it, and you hurt your Achilles, and now you're out for the year. So I think they're just being super cautious with him, because to me, and I think it's a symptom of the transfer portal, like outside of Texas last year, who loses their QB1 and like has an Arch Manning waiting. Yeah. Like there's just, you don't get that. There's so many quarterbacks. Every time a portal opens, everyone's number two dips and goes. Right. Yeah. I will say this, Deshaun Purdy, my guy, bag fumbled. I don't know what's going on where he, I think he's at Wake Forest maybe. I don't know where he went.
Great, fine like, institution.
He would be QB two on this team right now. And
yeah, he's QB one there.
No, but he knew that. He knew he was QB two. He just didn't.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I think you have a finite amount of time to play, and you know Deshaun Purdy can go to Wake Forest, start, and if he has a good year, he can transfer to a top program. He wasn't going to probably get that opportunity at Florida, barring a health issue, which of course we don't talk about on the show. I'm not allowed anymore.
Hey, real quick. So you were saying, I was thinking, you were talking about Nation. I ran into Nation down in Miami at, what was it, 305 Crib, whatever that is. They have a 7-on-7 event. I was down there just to check some other players out, being nosy. And then he came out there on the field, like, true to size, bro. He's an SEC receiver ready to go. Like, the kid's truly 6'2", 6'3", looks filled out. That receiver room is going to be impressive, man. Continue your camp talk. Let's get back on track here.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just have an issue of, you know, you have so many new guys that are going to be trying to get an opportunity, and, you know, you only have one football, and, you know, how do you work those guys in, right? You have VB3, Dallas Wilson, Nation Montgomery, who I'm a big fan of. Well, I'm a fan of all three, obviously. You know, you have them, and then you have your starters, and then you have Tay Hawkins. You just have a lot. So I'm excited that room is going to compete. And I think that there's a huge opportunity for any of these freshmen, you know, to potentially step up. You know, I'm really curious to see how it starts at the beginning of the year to where it ends at the end of the year. Cause I do think that there could be a lot of changes, and I don't think those freshmen are looking to sit the bench.
Hello. To me, it's, you have a ton of guys there. I think they're, I mean, right now it's fall camp, but I think they're all really unselfish. They do a really good job of celebrating each other's victories as I watch in practice. I'll tell you what, Taylor Spirito is like a fan favorite in the locker room. Watch, my guy has got a handshake with everybody on the offense.
That's what I like to hear.
That means he's got some extra time on his hands.
It's been good to watch the offense. I think the left side of the offense, specifically in like run blocking, like I think you have like three road graders over there run blocking with Barber, Harris, and obviously the All-American Slaughter. And then the right side, I think, is behind them, but still good. I still think it's the best offensive line heading into a year. The most confident I've been in a Florida offensive line, maybe that I can remember. If someone can like throw a random year out and who was there, maybe I could say, okay, maybe I'm forgetting them. But
since you've covered the team, I don't think there has been.
Yeah, I think since I've starting in 2013, I think it's the best I've felt about Florida's offensive line heading into a year. The running back room, it's Baugh. Then it's Jack Cheese, Jacoby Jackson, and then it's KD. Tre'Vaun Webb still dealing with his injury. But I think Duke Clark might be the best in terms of hands. Not the typical hands we ask about, but receiving the ball. I have seen the running backs receiving the ball better. And I don't know if they're emphasizing it. I mentioned last year they were emphasizing it, so maybe I'm just like forgetting how much they did, but Duke Clark really, really catches the ball well out of the backfield. I really think you're three deep there with KD. Those guys are explosive. Tight end, it's
what do you mean 3D? I mean
three deep, like with Baugh, Jacoby Jackson, and KD. Like, I think you're gonna have all three. I think all three of those guys will play a lot.
Gotcha. Okay.
I was going to say, lead of the 21 height frame right here, bro.
Yeah, like he will get less carries than the two guys ahead of him, but I think he is explosive and he is making plays enough that, like, hey, you're going to earn reps. He's just a dude. Kind of a troll, funny, but like super explosive, really, really great top end speed. He gets to that top end speed quickly. And that's a little bit different than Jaden and Jaden and Jacoby. I do like all of the guys. I was watching some clips. I can't remember who posted them on Twitter, but it's like the all 22. I think all of those guys get skinny really well. Like if there's a counter or something and there's not much of a gap, they do a good job of getting skinny and getting through the hole. Pause. Tight end is still the same thing that we've seen. Like that's what it is in this offense. Hayden Hansen, physically super impressive. He's like a legitimate 6'7", 270 with probably low double digit body fat, like 10-12%. Like he's physically one of the most impressive looking guys on the team.
Without spoiling any formations or packages or things that you saw, do you expect to see some more throws to the tight end position with Hayden Hansen, who we saw a little bit last year, Amir Jackson, and you know, I think Tony Livingston's still in that group too. So I don't expect a ton out of Tony Livingston when it comes to passes his way, but do you expect to see more, less, the same?
I just don't think it. I don't think the offense calls for that. But
wouldn't that be nice if it did? You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, like you break off that tackle and there's just a guy, or you break off the block and there's somebody in the tackle there, but you're in the flat. Sorry.
Yeah, Tony's two behind Hansen now. Amir would be three, based on what I've seen. Amir's got. Like he's just not a guy that you're not going to have him put his hand in the dirt right now.
Right.
And that's, they don't have a lot of tight ends split out in the packages that they call.
Tony's, and that's not just gotten, it's the whole offense, right? You could go back to San Francisco. I mean, not San Francisco, the Dolphins, you know, a lot of these teams that use that similar type of offense. You know, the 49ers are a little different because they have George Kittle. And if I had George Kittle, I would try to figure out ways to use him too. But
Kittle blocks his ass off. Yeah.
Well, right. But George Kittle's also a top two tight end in the NFL.
Right. But I mean, to your point, even the Niners are asking him to block way more than another team with a different offense would ask somebody as talented as George Kittle receiving offensively to do it. And it's a credit to him blocking. But I think I think it's those two. And it's the offense is the same offense that we've seen. It just doesn't feature – it features a tight end a lot, but not as a pass receiver.
Yeah, you know, I'm very curious. You know, the development of the tight ends is important to this offense, right? It's a very important position in this offense and their continued maturation. It is for what they're asked to do, not as a featured pass catcher. But in terms of what they're asked to do, especially when players go in motion and sliding, and all of their role and responsibility relies very heavily on that being a highly executed role from everything that I've read about that Mike McDaniel style, where Billy Napier pulls his ideas for offense in that kind of that West Coast style of offense there. But
you're speaking about America's team, the Miami Dolphins.
I sure am. Miami Dolphins. All right, we got Andy Staples waiting, so let's pause that discussion because I do want to hear about the defense after Andy joins the show. Before we bring him on, we do want to give a shout-out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. At checkout, you'll get 15% off of your order. 6 pages worth of Florida Gator stuff. Get yourself suited in some short-sleeve shirts. It's going to be a hot beginning of the football season. So go get yourself maybe a white t-shirt, maybe get yourself a white tank top if that's your world that you live in. But go check them out, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale. If you are not purchasing something for a Florida Gator fan in your life, but maybe they went to, I don't know, about 125 different schools that are out there, they are on there as well. So that promo code, you work across the site, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale. And with that, we bring on a friend of the program, I think our most featured guest that we've ever had, Andy Staples. Andy, it is an absolute pleasure to have you back.
Gentlemen, I am pleased. I saw the clip of Stephen Harris talking about the birthday cake.
Yeah.
Which is one of the funniest. So just remembering the dynamics of that 2006 team and how important like Stephen Harris and Joe Cohen and those guys were and they're bringing a birthday. If you haven't seen it, everybody, if it's a Flow Factory episode, it's amazing. So
that's hilarious. Tim Tebow and Stephen Harris have the same birthday. So they was bringing out a cake. It's Stephen Harris, senior year, fifth year senior. Tebow's a freshman. They're bringing out a cake. He thinks the cake is for him. And then it's actually for Tebow. Whole team erupts because it's for Tebow. And he just felt left out. It was pretty funny. Y'all go check that out. What's up, Andy? How's it going, man?
I'm here. I'm here. It's been a day. So
that's what I heard.
Yeah, I was supposed to join you guys late because I was gonna have to pick my son up for football practice. I got the phone call no parent wants, where you see the head coach's number pop up when you know practice is going on, and it's like, uh-oh, what do we got here? And it is a concussion, so we're in the protocol. So gotta work through that. Season opens next week in the protocol.
How creeped out are you of head injuries in football dealing with your son? Because I deal with the same thing. I'm creeped out.
Yeah, very, because I had him in a more barbaric time in the 90s when they're just like, whatever. And I know exactly when I had concussions. Like you read up on it enough, you can pinpoint every moment you had something. So like I'm just glad because his offensive line coach handled it really well, noticed something was off, told the trainer. The trainer was immediately, doing what he needed to do. They've already given us all the steps that need to be taken. And it was just, the head coach was super supportive. So that was my biggest thing. Like he's been playing tackle football since middle school and he's going to sophomore year high school. And I wasn't going to let him play initially early. I was going to wait until he was in high school. Cause that was, I just wanted to know, how do you handle head injuries? I remember just grilling the coach about that before I let him play in sixth grade. And cause I've seen them at his school doing it for years. They do it right. So I'm glad.
I got a question for you, Andy. I noticed, so Florida, they've put the last, since spring, everyone had, except for the specialists and quarterbacks who are no touch, wear the guardian cap this year. They put the,
and he was wearing one today.
Yeah,
it's just one of the weird things, like making a tackle, and it fell backward and hit his head on the ground. And the grounds, those are the ones that'll get you.
Yeah.
So
not even like the helmet to helmet, the head hitting the ground, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
Do you think somebody at practice proposed the question? Do you think, now I see Florida's got the stickers on them and everything, and you've seen some NFL teams allowing guys to wear them in games. Do you see a point where they're mandated to wear in game?
I can see it. It's interesting because a lot of the players just don't want it. Like I know, like the kids, the high school kids are like, oh no, we got to look good on game day, and being a bobblehead just doesn't look right. But my thing is, it's a great game. It teaches so much. It's so valuable. If that's what it takes to keep playing it, sure. Like we'll get used to anything.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's wearing it and it's 22 bobbleheads on the field. You're not the only one.
Exactly. Well, and look, I mean, they wear it at practice all the time. Like, cause it's required. Like there's no, I forgot my guardian cap. Like you wear it.
Yeah, and things are going to change and times are going to change. And if we should change, right, as technology gets better, as education gets better, as medicine gets better, all of that. So we should change. But I'll let the doctors and teams decide. I have no knowledge. I never played football. Well, I take that back. I never played tackle football. I was an illustrious intramural.
Were you like that USA team USA flag football quarterback? Is like, these dudes don't understand this game.
Oh
like,
no, I
was a hockey can't just plant Patrick Mahomes on team I USA was, flag I was a football.
Hockey player, yeah. No, I've got some.
He has a point.
The NHL.
He has a point. Andy, when I first came home from college football, I went out to go play flag football against these old plumbers, and me and all my boys fresh out of college, and they ran us off the field. Electricians, mailmen with beer bellies.
Oh yeah,
family of eight. And they ran
they're running plays. They probably, do they have wristbands? Do they have play sheet wristbands?
Oh, for sure. They had sheets and all that, bro.
Yeah. They had three hook and ladders ready on that first play.
So
correct.
When I stopped playing football, when I had to go start working for the Alligator and find ways to financially support myself, I was a flag football ref at UF for a little while. And man, I'm not sure what's nastier, the fraternity games or the sorority games.
Oh, those sorority games can get nasty.
You're going to get screamed at either way.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather get screamed at by the frat guys.
Well, I can assure you, Andy, I never had a reason to scream at the ref. They always called our games proper and always allowed my interceptions to happen. Let's get into Florida Gator talk. It's always good to catch up with you, Andy. Coach's poll comes out today. Gators 17. I think before, you know, a couple months ago, we thought Gators somewhere, you know, I think we said somewhere between 15 and 20. So, you know, right smack dab in the middle. What are your thoughts on that 17 ranking?
I am of the mind that, like, you got to go one of two ways with Florida, mm-hmm. either like 10th or unranked. And because I think it's a case of, is DJ healthy all season? Does he play up to his potential? If he is, you're talking about maybe a playoff team. So that's where you'd say like 10, 11, something like that. If he's not, I think that schedule's so hard that they don't end up in a position where they'd be ranked. So like it feels like there's no middle ground with them.
It's like Billy Napier's entire career so far has been like these not middle ground situations, right?
It's unbelievable.
At least I just learned this week that the University of Long Island's not in Long Island. It's in Brooklyn. I feel hoodwinked and bamboozled.
Also Manhattan, which knocked Florida out of the 2004 NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. not in Manhattan.
Of course not.
I think it's the Bronx.
Yeah.
I was going through it on another show, but I think I've said a ceiling of like 10 and 2 with a healthy DJ Lagway. And I've said multiple mm-hmm. times, I feel like a healthy DJ Lagway gives Florida a chance on any Saturday. Give me a
chance. My thing with Florida is Jacksonville. If Florida can go 8-4 against this schedule, they can go 10-2 or 11-1 against this schedule.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you're in the games against teams that are going to be playoff teams and you can win them, then anything's possible.
Hmm. Yeah, I was on a podcast yesterday. My comment was, I don't really see how Florida, barring an injury to DJ Lagway or barring massive injuries like they've had, you know, a decade or so ago, you know, I think it's going to be tough for this team to win less or to not win at least six games just based on the mm-hmm. schedule. But there's just so many 50-50 games where I'm like, well, Florida does what they should do. I think they are more talented. I think that Florida is a more talented team about what we think about them, probably more than anything, because there's a lot of new guys and people that are now becoming starters that were like, man, they really flashed when they were you know, backups, and now they're going to have a full year to show what they have. But, you know, I like Nick. I think that Florida is more likely. This is a question that's posited. It's like, is Florida more likely to go 10-2 or 6-6? And I think that they're more likely to go 10-2 than 6-6.
If DJ's healthy, because if it's what we saw at the end of last season on both lines of scrimmage, they're capable of beating anybody in this schedule. Mm. And so you do have to have some injury luck. Like, where Florida could get really unlucky, if they had some interior D-line injuries, mm-hmm. that would be really bad. If they had like an edge rusher go down, okay, they're deep there. They'd be okay. You know, certain spots in the offensive line, you don't want to lose. Obviously, you don't want to lose like Jake Slaughter. You don't want to lose Austin Barber. But if they are healthy, generally, I think this team can play with anybody. And if it's what we saw at the end of last season, and you know, it's interesting to me because this was the same line of scrimmage group that got pushed around by Miami and Texas A&M. But they go play against Ole Miss, which had maybe the best D-line in the country, and they look great. You know, the D-line has 6 sacks against LSU, which was not giving up sacks all season. Mm-hmm. So it's weird to me because they did something last year that I just don't remember ever seeing before. You don't usually see a team get better on the line of scrimmage as the season goes on against tough competition. Mm-hmm. Like, so That's what, and you know, you saw it against Georgia too. Like, remember, they're in the game in the fourth quarter with Aiden Warner and at quarterback. So I do think if they're mostly healthy, and like if they had a kind of normal power conference schedule, even if DJ wasn't fully healthy, I think you'd be talking about an 8-9 win team. Mm-hmm. But because it's this schedule, and there's a few teams dealing with this. I think Oklahoma has to deal with this too. Mm-hmm. Their schedule is just disgusting. Mississippi State schedule is awful, but they're not equipped to deal with it, unfortunately. But that's the thing, that it's this particular schedule that makes it so boom or bust.
Well, when I go through it, I've said a bunch of times, like, we'll know who Florida is night of October 11th. That is the Texas A&M game.
Because
you get the Brooklyn Sharks, then South Florida, but then it's at LSU, at Miami. I think we do this every year. Like, we hype Miami up. We hype Miami up. I've never been really a big Carson Beck believer.
I don't know about Carson Beck's coming off a surgery too, but he will have played a couple games. They will already play an elite team in Notre Dame. So we'll have a really good idea of what they are. I think when you've got a good offensive line, it takes care of a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. Miami's going to have a good offensive line. So is their defense better than it was last year? Because, you know, Florida's humming on offense. Last year's version of Miami defense, they're not going to be able to handle that. But if they're better, then that's a different story. They got the coordinator from Minnesota. They went and got a bunch of guys out of the portal. They still have some good player, you know, like Reuben Bain should be back and healthy this year. And Akeem Mesidor is back. So they should be better on defense. But I think the LSU game is critical. That stretch of
game.
Yeah. LSU, Miami,
Texas,
Texas A&M. I think they got to go 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it's a problem.
The schedule is pretty front loaded though. Like, obviously is after that Texas A&M, you get a bye week before Georgia, but then after that it's Kentucky, Ole Miss, both road games, but Kentucky and Ole Miss, Tennessee, and then Florida State.
I would not sleep on, well, you got Georgia too, but I would not sleep on Ole Miss. I think Austin Simmons is gonna be really good. We saw a little bit last year. He obviously got thrown in a really stressful situation, and the Georgia game looked awesome, but also just the way he handled being the backup and being around that team, he was clearly prepping to be the starter, like knew he was going to be the guy. Lane made it very clear he was going to be the guy. They didn't even sniff the portal at all. I think he's going to be pretty good. So that's one, like, I think if SEC teams are looking at Ole Miss and saying that's an auto win, as I talked to some LSU fans about this the other day, I was like, do not assume you're just going to go up to Oxford and beat Ole Miss.
Right.
Because it's not going to be easy.
I mean, I think the offense is going to be great regardless, right? They're always going to be able to put up points.
Right. And the question is, how good are they on defense? Because they had some really elite talent last year, like Walter Dolan. But like guys they got, like Chris Paul, who there wasn't a lot of fanfare with him coming over from Arkansas, but he was awesome. He was such an important part of that defense. And so I think we don't know that yet, because they've shown a good eye out of the portal, but if you build out of the portal, it's still a bit of a crapshoot about, you know, how's the chemistry going to work? How are guys going to fit in? That's where I feel more confident about Florida, because these guys have all played together. They've been through some stuff together. Like Clemson's the same way. All those guys have played together and they know, you know, they've had ups and downs that they've been through. So you feel more confident in a veteran group that has been through some stuff.
You might. What if you get a situation like, I think a 9-3 Florida could sneak into the playoff with how
because hard of the schedule is
because of the schedule. But what if you get a situation where you've got, you know, a middling Ole Miss? It's a total reverse of last season.
They knock them out
going on the road with playoff aspirations, and you're only looking at Tennessee and FSU between you and a playoff. And
well, the biggest heartbreaker would be, it'd be like a 2001 situation, except with Tennessee probably not being in a position to win the East. But if Tennessee were to come down in that last SEC game and do it, and obviously, you know, they haven't won in the Swamp since 2003, so it's there's a little bit. I don't even. It's dark magic at this point.
Yeah, don't.
Well,
put,
we're
don't
blurring out. There, we're Andy. Blurring out quarterbacks at practice, Andy. I think we're.
That is my favorite thing that happened over the weekend. Yeah, my absolute favorite thing.
Yeah, the Smoky Mountains came down and just happened to block the view of the quarterback.
Buzzed it out.
Andy, what are you hearing from the safety spot? We lost Will Harris to Miami, or lose, or he left to go to Miami. However you want to work that. Will Harris goes to Miami. Venison Series is coaching that spot now. I like the starters with Bryce Thornton and Jordan Castell. After that, we get very young. Billy spoke about it today at his presser, saying that those guys got to grow up and develop quick as far as Lagunza. And also my guy Drake Stubbs, who had a good practice the other day as well. What are you hearing about
that? Yeah, Drake Stubbs is one I'm interested in because I remember talking to Billy on signing day about him. And they were so excited and thought, you know, maybe he could come in and help right away. It's one of those things where you've got a new position coach, but it's not a new defense. So you have older guys who can help if you've got to play a freshman in that spot. But yeah, I'm not really sure how that's going to work out, but that's another one. I mentioned interior D line earlier, where if your frontline guys go down, you're getting really young, really fast. Mm-hmm. And so Vinny Sinceri, I always, like, I loved him as a player. Remember when he played at Alabama?
Pick six on Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, because that it was one of those where, like, oh, his dad coaches there. Is that why they're recruiting? His brother had been a decent quarterback at Pittsburgh. His brother's now the OC at UCLA, Tino. But Vinny, you're like, okay, Vinny's coming in with all these monsters and these five stars, and Vinny was like a three-star recruit. And he just tore it up and was kind of, you know, captain, leader, that type of guy.
First in, last out.
So I had a feeling. I'm not. I didn't say he was sneaky fast. He was fast.
Deceptively quick.
Listen. You start for Alabama in those days in the secondary. You ain't sneaky fast. Coach on the field, gritty. You're fast. Mm. But you had a feeling if he wound up going into coaching that he was going to rise pretty quickly through the ranks. And, you know, he was with Jed Fish last year in Washington. They liked him. I'm interested to see what this secondary looks like, because like you guys are saying, it's veteran up front, but then somebody twists an ankle. Somebody that all of a sudden you're into some young dudes.
Yeah. It's a position.
What are the players?
Sorry, it's a position that they ask a lot of mentally. So like a guy like Drake Stubbs, you're kind of like, hey, you get thrown in there, and now you're the director of the movie.
That's the thing I don't think a lot of people understand is how much communication is required, because every level of the defense has that you know, those people who are required to communicate, but in the secondary, it's even harder because you've got to get to people quickly, and you've got to get stuff relayed from the linebackers to guys that are further out. Mm-hmm. We did a thing a few years ago when I was at SI where we put GoPros. Florida let us put GoPros on the guys at practice. The amount of talking that those safeties have to do just on a play-to-play basis, I don't think the average fan understands. And that's where youth becomes a problem. That's where youth becomes an issue, is not just I need to know what to do. It's I need to be able to tell the corner out here what I'm doing and what he needs to do because of that.
Right. And you've got to react to what the offense is putting out there, right? It's not like offense where you guys are just in a huddle deciding what to do, and then you throw it out there and you can make some adjustments. You can have your base defense, but then you've got to make moves on the fly, and you've got to know what to look out for.
And then you got, like if you've got the frontline guys who've played together for a long time, they'll have a shorthand, they'll be comfortable with each other, and they'll know exactly, you know, each one already knows what he's doing. And then they can get a little more advanced as they see something, the offense doing something, they can get them a little more advanced and say, okay, I'm going to do this. But yeah, that's where you get a little worried when you see potentially a true freshman having to come in right there.
Yeah.
And you also get to, It's all right. Well, now I've effectively communicated, but I'm all in mentally on all of that. What's my assignment? Or, hey, I accidentally right. miscommunicated to that guy. Now he gets beat. I'm where I'm supposed to be, but he's beat. And there were a couple times.
Right. And do you keep doing what you're supposed to do? Do you try to bail somebody out, and which could cause another problem? Yeah. It's funny because when we watch what happens in the games and we're like, it's that guy's fault. Usually we don't know the whole picture.
No, I've started waiting to point fingers until I see who the player that I thought got beat is pointing at and talking to. I'm like, okay, that was.
Well, and that's Jeff Schwartz, who used to play offensive line in the NFL, does a lot of, you know, media stuff now. I remember talking to him about this, and he's like, you should never automatically blame an NFL offensive lineman for something. Because you don't know the play, and you don't know his rules, and you don't know this. And he's like going down this list of all these things. Now, obviously, if it's a one-on-one situation on the edge, a guy gets beat. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And it's the same thing with a safety. You don't know what he was supposed to be doing on that play. You don't know if he's trying to bail somebody else out. You don't know if he misread it or somebody else misread it. But that's why we talk to people after the games, too.
Andy, I want to switch sides of the football here. We always do live fact checking, especially when somebody gives us money, and he wants to let us know that LIU is indeed on Long Island. I think this is the Brooklyn campus of Long Island University.
Oh,
I can see where your confusion comes.
I mean, Long Island, you'd expect like them to have room for a big campus and a football field. And
hey, I'm telling you what, you'd also think USF would be in South Florida, but you know, it is what it is. Life works in mysterious ways. Andy, I want to ask you about the wide receiver room. The Gators go. They get J. Michael Sturtevant from UCLA. Trey Wilson comes back. You know, Aiden Mizell. They have a crop of folks that are waiting their opportunity to get on the field. And then you have three fantastic freshmen who I think are not looking to wait on the sideline.
Darnell
Brown and Dallas Wilson. How do you think that room shakes out maybe at the beginning of the year? And then ultimately, where do you think it ends up at the end of the year? If you were to prognosticate?
Well, I think obviously you're expecting the most out of J. Mike, who's a veteran player who was very sought after in the portal. You know, this is a guy that everybody liked. UCLA obviously was in a weird situation last year, where Chip Kelly bails and then Deshaun Foster gets put into that situation, a tough situation. But you expect him to play. I think this receiving corps should be better than Florida's last year. And that's not a knock on Kamir DK or on Elijah Badger. They were very good, but I think the ceiling on this one's quite a bit higher. And especially when you go get a guy like Dallas Wilson, that's kind of what Florida was missing. I did a thing. It was actually because of Dallas Wilson flipping, because it got me thinking about receivers and the really good ones and the freaky ones. Ricky Pearsall is kind of a unicorn, where he transferred and then became a first rounder. Jordan Addison was a weird situation because he wins the Biletnikoff, but his OC left, his receivers coach left, his quarterback is gone. And after spring, he's just like, I don't want to play with these guys. For the most part, though, really good elite receivers who go on to be first round draft picks do not transfer. They stay where they are. In the NIL era, schools pay them to stay. They make sure they keep them, and they don't go anywhere. Jeremiah Smith, Ryan Williams. Like, Ryan Wingo didn't get to do much in Texas last year, but I bet he's going to be real good this year. And they made sure they kept him. Cam Coleman at Auburn. You got to get those freaky guys with the high ceilings. And the only way to get them is to get them out of high school. And I realized Dallas Wilson had signed with Oregon, but he didn't actually end up going to Oregon. He came to Florida. So I look at him as a true freshman, you know, class of 26 signee. And that's the kind of player you've got to have that really Florida hasn't had. You know, Kyle Pitts was that as a tight end, just a freaky, unguardable player, but they have not had that at the receiver position. You guys help me out. I'm trying to think.
We were talking about that when we did our live show.
I'm going to say Percy, but I'm not going to compare Dallas Wilson to Percy because that's not fair.
I went back to Andre Caldwell, and that was a long time ago. A highly sought after
Andre DeBose was that.
Andre DeBose was that. It's just his career, you know, got derailed by injuries, but he definitely was that when he was freshman.
He was 5-star out of Samford. He was the original next Percy Harvin.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, Antonio Callaway had some flashes, some, you know, preseason hype about him. But again, a 4-star guy. I don't know. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson was a 5-star guy, but you didn't expect him to come in and dominate right away. You know, so I went back to Andre Caldwell. I could certainly be wrong, but that's about as far as I went back. Yeah, because
Percy's not even.
Which is different, man.
He's a different species. Yeah. So, yeah, Bubba Caldwell's good. Chad Jackson was actually a big recruiting win.
Yeah.
But again, we are talking about 20 years ago, so it's been a long time. But this is the kind of guy, like a big, rangy, quick receiver. Like, Florida just hadn't had that.
The first time I saw Dallas Wilson up close, I was like, physically, this is what like a 4-star linebacker looks like. And then I saw him hit ladders, and I saw him run routes, and I was like, oh, that's what a 5-star linebacker looks like. Like, he's just different. And I spent some time before you got on crushing about Nayshon Montgomery. And I think VB3 is crazy shifty. He's shown great hands, but like Dallas Wilson just looks different.
Yeah. Right. And that's the thing. Like, we'll see if this year's freshman class looks like last year's class. Jeremiah Smith's in a universe all his own, but you had Jeremiah Smith, you had Ryan Williams flashed early, kind of tailed off at the end of the season, but I suspect he's going to be really good this year. Cam Coleman kind of figured it out at the end of last season. And they put Eric Singleton with him, which I think is really going to be helpful for him because he's not going to be just the focus of the defense anymore. And so maybe Dallas Wilson is that for Florida. And it's interesting because, you know, we're got DeCorian Moore too. And I think this probably has a lot to do with why Dallas Wilson is in Florida, because I don't think you get two of those guys in a year. I don't think in the NIL era you can do that. I think that the wealth's going to get spread.
With all these weapons we got at receiver, running backs, a lot of explosive, verified speed all over the field. You got a big arm with Lagway. What do you think this offense? How good can it be compared to like the rest of the country?
Oh, I think it could be very good because DJ makes it explosive, and you know I think people criticized Billy Napier's offense because he does want to run more than he wants to throw. But the thing is, if you have a guy like DJ, I think you do want to run the ball effectively because that does make it possible to have more explosive pass plays, more one-on-one matchups. You know, DJ can throw guys open. And that's another thing Florida has not had the ability to do in a while. And, you know, I think that's the thing that jumped out at you when he became the starter. Graham gets hurt against Tennessee. He becomes the starter against Kentucky. You're watching him throw the ball before the receiver is even open. And then the receiver turns and there it is. Or he's put it in a place where only that guy can get it. Now look, DJ also had some accuracy issues. Like you want a completions percentage higher than what he had last year. I think he was 58 at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And it was closer to 50 against SEC teams. So that part's got to go up. But I mean, like the Kentucky game is a great example of this. You saw the potential, but you also saw how raw he was. So imagine a little more refined version. Your offensive line's playing better and then blocking for a guy like Jaden Baugh. And all of a sudden, you're gaining 5 yards a carry. Defense has to put 7 in the box, minimum 8 in the box a lot of times because you're just slamming them up front. You're going to open up things on the outside, over the middle. You're going to open that stuff up. And so that's why I'm much more confident in them as an offense than I was this time last year, because one, they have a quarterback who can make special throws, But also, that offensive line has now shown that it can open holes. I mean, it's interesting to go back to the Ole Miss game. The per carry numbers are not great, but it's the best per carry number anybody had against Ole Miss all year. So they definitely got better up front. And I think if they're running the ball, they're going to be really hard to stop as an offense. And that's it. Like, say what you will about Billy Napier and his play calling, he doesn't abandon the run typically. He's not one of those. I know he frustrates you because he won't abandon the run.
You're down three scores, he's still running that joint, man.
If you want to see the opposite of that, go to the LSU Florida game last year and look at what LSU did.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Sloan abandoned the run, and it's why Florida was teeing off on Garrett Nussmeier. They were actually running the ball okay, and they just stopped. They were like, we're just going to throw it from here. And Ron Roberts is like, okay, we're coming after you then.
Andy, is this the – we were talking about this last week. Is this the most excited a Gator fan should be about the roster in – maybe a deck. I mean, I think you look back to that COVID year, you didn't really know. I mean, I think you saw glimpses of Kyle Trask bigger before. You weren't exactly sure if it would be the same. And there was some excitement, certainly a lot of question marks on defense. But, you know, we were trying to think, when was the last time a Gator fan was this excited about the actual roster? You know, play calling,
yeah,
coaching aside.
You were always excited about the defense in the Muschamp era.
Yeah.
Because they were always loaded. Never
about offense.
Yeah. 2009?
Yeah. Yeah, 2009, 2010.
Because the 2012 team was really good.
Yeah.
But you didn't know what it was going to be offensively.
Yeah. On that same frame, we were literally just talking about it. I started covering the team in 2013, and I said, I don't think I've ever been this confident about an offensive line, a Florida offensive line heading into the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or a Florida defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree.
Going back to that, Roberts. Now you saw some pretty good in 2013. You were on the tail end of some pretty good ones, mm-hmm. But yeah, I think what they were at the end of last season should excite people,
mm-hmm.
because they'd figured it out. And you know, I'll go back to it because I on signing day, I went to interview Billy Napier in his office, and I just apologized to him. I'm like, I'm sorry. I said some terrible things about you. And like,
Corey,
you knew what you were doing. You were right.
Don't apologize yet, Andy.
Oh, I know. Listen.
Oh, well, hold on.
This all could go to shit real quick. But
3 a.m. Eastern, that Netflix documentary is coming out, which features a prominent role from Andy Staples. There might be more apologies coming. Who knows what he said?
I know, because I basically apologize in it. I've already seen that episode. I know what I say.
I gotta watch it.
Yeah, it's really good. See, I think the Florida people didn't like it, but I think it makes Napier look great because it shows how he kind of weathered the storm and kept the team together when everything could have fallen apart.
Yeah, man, they just don't like positive P. They just don't like any sort of PR marketing. Well, it's weird.
To tell the story, Dan, you have to. There has to be conflict. And it's PR people never understand this. PR people don't understand that, like, you don't get the pathos at the end of the story. You don't get the resolution unless you have some conflict in the middle.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's how you write a novel, right? You got to have the rising action, the falling action. You got to have a climax in there.
Yeah.
And in this case, Florida's season was a movie script. Like, it was bad, bad. And they were going to fire him. Like, that's not us making that up. Like, they were, and then they figured it out. So, but the thing, like, this is what I told Billy.
I mean, it still wasn't the prettiest going down the stretch. Like, it's still, like, while we improved, like, the Florida State game, we won, but it was a little choppy.
That wasn't pretty.
The game was choppy, right? So, it's still some, you know, a lot to be desired there.
Fits and starts. But, but I will say, like, what I told Billy is I remember going to his coach's show before the UCF game, and he's talking about during the open date, they had the best practice he's seen in his career as a football coach. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the words on the epitaph. Like, this is
the violin on the Titanic.
Mm-hmm. And then after the Ole Miss game, you're talking to players and they're like, yeah, we had this one practice in the open date before UCF. It was best practice ever. I'm like, oh, he wasn't bullshitting. Like, that was real. And it was. So, but it's interesting because we talked to Dabo Swinney on my show a few months ago, and he just made the point of like, I know what my team will be like when it faces adversity, because most of this roster has faced adversity together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that a lot of coaches can say that.
Yeah.
Dabo can say it. Billy Napier can say it. I think Kirby Smart can say it. I think, you know, Ryan Day can probably say it, although this is a lot of really young guys that he's got to put in new positions. But I think Steve Sarkisian can probably say it. But it's true. Most of these rosters have so much turnover that you don't know what you got year to year. I think Billy probably has a fairly good idea what he has.
He mentioned it. I don't remember if it was SEC Media Days or Florida's Media Day right before fall camp, but he said, like, we put an emphasis on high school recruiting.
Yes.
And basically supplementing in the portal year to year.
I believe there might be a nugget of that in the Netflix show, too. So,
way to promote the show.
They didn't even pay me. So,
man, it's just like this podcast, except we don't have billions of dollars in market share. Who doesn't?
It was pretty funny. Like when I was, because I shot for it three times. And the first time I shot for it, I asked the guy, I was like, okay, so what am I supposed to wear? What's the dress code? Do I have to wear a suit? Or he's like, no, it doesn't have to be a suit or anything. Just, you know, something you'd be comfortable with 50 million people seeing you. And I was like, oh,
very good.
So not like what I'd wear for my podcast. Okay. Got it.
Love it. Andy, we've kept you on for a long time. You guys have any final questions before we let Andy run? And man, we always appreciate you coming on the show.
No, last one. Does DJ make it to New York if he's healthy entire season?
I think there's a really good chance. I do. I think he's special. I was corrected. I was on a show, Carter Bryant, shout out to him, he does an LSU-centric show. He's really good. He had me on last week. And he goes, you keep saying that DJ Lagway has the best physical tools of any Florida quarterback in a long, long time, or maybe that you've ever seen. It's just true. And I have said that. And he's like, you're wrong on that. I was like, oh, okay. And I was thinking he was going to come up with, you know, like he's like a big Shane Matthews believer, even though Shane was playing before he was born. He goes, you remember Cam Newton was on Florida's roster as a quarterback for 2 years? I'm like, touche.
Yeah.
You got me there.
Yeah.
So.
What could have been, Andy? What could have been without the laptop? Anyway, Andy, we appreciate you coming on the show. Andy Staples with On3. Plug everything that you want, and then we'll see you next time, brother.
Yeah. Andy and Ari On3. New episodes drop 3 p.m. every weekday. It's obviously on demand anytime at the On3 Sports YouTube channel. All my stories are at on3.com. Subscribe to Gators Online. And yeah, that's about it.
Awesome, Andy. We appreciate you for coming on again, my friend, and have a great college football year. And hopefully we'll get the chance to chat with you some point during the season.
Thank you, guys.
And best of appreciate luck to your son, of course. Well wishes and prayers to him. Andy Staples with On3. Always enjoy having Andy on. Let's get a quick ad read for our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks, GameTimeSidekicks.com. If you want a cool cup like this one or the one Nick has there or the ones that we showcase each and every week on this program, go visit. Love that one, Corey. That one's getting some wear and tear on from my usage of it. But go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15 to get 15% off of your order. Great product, and keep your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. Again, GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code STADIUM15. And thanks for Lane Chains watching the show while working. And then Harrison popped in here too.
Great to meet you in person, Lane Chains. Thanks for coming to the event this weekend. Nice to... put a face to the name.
All right.
All right. We still got a lot to talk about. Yeah, I'm dying over here.
Hands up.
Let's get through the rest of that practice, Nick, and then we'll talk about the linebacking group. So talk to us a little bit about the defensive side of the ball from what you saw.
Yeah, I think the defense is really is super talented. I share the same. I think Andy said it We've talked about the interior defensive line room. Ron Roberts said they don't have a depth issue. I think you're a couple twisted ankles from being super, super young. Jamari Lyons, I think, needs to be the guy that we thought he was going to be before his injury last year, because mm-hmm. he's starting next to Caleb Banks. Brian Taylor is behind him. I think Joseph Mbachu is really coming along. Like, I forget that he's a freshman. He'll be in that three deep mix there. Makai Barreau, everyone saw him in a black jersey. That was reported on by the media that was there. He's all with Brian Taylor as the two. He was having a great, great camp. He's going through stuff. Like, he's not in like the pit black jersey pit kind of guy. Like, he's black jersey going through all the stuff with the guys. So it might be more preventative, but those four, five with Mbachu, I think, are really, really strong. And then you've got DeForest Brown, Brendan Bett. I think maybe it's the playbook. Maybe it's
He also didn't play all of last year, too. So yeah, I would imagine. Yeah,
it's just like he's just kind of
– he's just a guy.
In
a
the jag. Shuffle, right? In the shuffle right now. But those first four guys, I think, are really, really good. And Mbachu, obviously, a young player. That's also a position, too, that, like, you're fine with a young player. Hey, can you get me 6 to 8 plays? Because that's 6 to 8 that Caleb Banks gets to take a shot at Gatorade.
Yeah, I mean, that's 10% of the game if you can get that, right? I mean,
yeah.
If you're talking about a gas tank that burns out, mm-hmm. you know, being able to give up 10, 12, 15% and know that you can trust those next guys to make an impact, that's huge.
I've said this on the show, the linebacker or the edge defensive ends rooms, like, that's as deep as I think it's been in a long time. I'm talking like Georgia, Alabama, where you're just like, hey, put the next line in and you're fine. I don't think there's a ton of drop off.
Sounds like Bet might be a chance, man. 2-5 was not super high on the take.
We love a callback. You know? We love a callback. And then at linebacker, Pup still coming back from surgery in the spring, but I've seen a ton of growth from Miles Graham. He's, in my mind, is getting close to grabbing a Sharpie and putting his name in there as a starter. Jaden Robinson is stepping up behind them. Aaron Childs, he's kind of playing more of like a almost like a Sam back, which they don't really use because they have the edge. It's really like a 4-2-5. Is that the number?
Yeah, that math adds up.
It's really 4-2-5, but Aaron Childs is going to get a lot of playing time, whether it's, you know, at edge or coming off. Like, he's big in pass blocking or pass rushing. Ty Jackson, I just need to hear him talk more. And having been around him at, like, our media day, he's just quiet. Like, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. But, like, that's it. And you can't be that as a linebacker on the field. So, like, he – I think just needs to get more comfortable and talk a little bit more. I'm fine with that linebacker depth, especially when Pup comes back. Mm-hmm. Outside of cornerback, I really, really think you have a 3 solid with Didi, or 4 solid. Throw in the star. Shreep Denson, I think, is really taking hold of that star job.
Where's Aaron Gates fill in?
He's been playing a little bit of safety and then also nickel. I think when you, like Corey was talking about, like, hey, it gets kind of weird if after Bryce and after Jordan Castell, Aaron Gates is in year 2, or is it year 3? Year 2?
Gates is in year 2.
Redshirt freshman. He's a guy that Billy said today can play all 5.
Gates in year 3?
Maybe.
Yeah, this is his third year for sure.
Third year, okay. I remember talking to him. Because I think I said it on the show before it got out anywhere else, that he told me at our media day that he was 100%, and that if he was in a black jersey, it was like the training staff being cautious. He's running around full speed. He's just like high football IQ. Like, he just knows where to be, and has the athleticism to get there. And I think his versatility is really, really good for Florida, because he might be backup star to Sharif. and also can be a backup safety, which gives you the luxury of kind of easing in Laganza and easing in Drake Stubbs.
Any, how are the specialists doing? Trace Mack?
Bro, my guy Tommy Dolman gave me like a 70-yarder today.
Nice.
Whew! My guy. Trace Mack is exactly who we think he is. Rocco Underwood, long snapper of the year last year. I think it just came out that he's on the watch list again, obviously. And Tommy Dolman is potentially be all-SEC punter. That operation, you get everyone back, include, and then the guy you didn't get back is also a fifth-year senior who transferred in, won a national championship in Michigan.
Man, love to hear it. Any final thoughts on practice before we get to the linebacker group?
Stay healthy. First scrimmage this Saturday.
Media is allowed or no?
Oh, buddy. I am. I'm allowed.
Well, before we off this scrimmage talk, I need Tramiel, man, to just, you know, take it up a notch. I need, that's who I'm watching, QB2 battle. There's a significant drop-off, which is normal around the country. I ain't tripping on it, but I want some consistency in what the offense is and what it can be. So I need Tramiel. I'm not saying that he will, but my hopes is that he accelerates and climb the depth chart and be QB2 at some point this fall. That's my hopes.
He's got the talent too. He certainly, you know what? He has made me forget that he was coming off like a severe injury his senior year. Like, you can't tell that he's injured. It's just a lot. It's just a lot for a freshman. But certified spin.
Perfect. I know you are the spin master, so we appreciate you for letting us know that he can throw a spiral, an important part of being quarterback at the University of Florida. Let's get into the linebacker group. Let's get one final ad read for our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville on Archer Road. Anything that you'd want for a Florida Gator fan in your life, go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville on Archer Road. Gators head into their linebacking group, missing Shamar James, who was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys. So he headed out. RJ Moten was in the linebacking group last year. I think he just got a camp.
Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots. He's on the Patriots roster right now.
He got Spurlock. Cut from a USFL team. And
did he get cut or the season over?
He got cut before the season was over and then got a call up, and he's been with them for like 10 days now.
Yeah, a couple weeks. Yeah. Deuce Spurlock portaled out, and then Derek Wingo graduated, and he's doing his NIL stuff now. So that means that the Gators are returning Miles Graham, who we mentioned, Aaron Childs, Pop Howard, Jaden Robinson, and then a few walk-ons, Justin Pellick, Jake Zeller, and Matthew Cade. And then they welcome in two freshmen, Ty Jackson and Miles Johnson, to that crew. We had the chance to talk a little bit about the linebacker group there with Pop Howard coming off of an injury. Jaden Robinson is probably a solidified starter in that group, and then Miles Graham really coming on. So what do you guys think about this group? You are replacing Shamar James, you know, multi-year starter at UF. I know he maybe never got to the level that fans expected out of him when he committed to Florida and flipped from Alabama. But what do you guys think about this group overall? You really have Miles Graham, Aaron Childs, Pop Howard, and Jaden Robinson as your four main guys. And then after that, certainly you're going to be going, you know, walk on or freshman.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much like you just said, those four guys is what you bank on. It's good to hear that Pup Howard was back and healthy. I have my eye on him and his health. What was that?
He has not been practicing in the pit. Not back.
I thought I read somewhere that he was healthy. Maybe I read something wrong, but I thought he was healthy. But if he's healthy, you have your four kind of locked in. Man, I think Ty Jackson is a guy that can contribute. I think he'll play some this fall. But you got four guys, I think, that can start at around the SEC or around other teams in the country. Very talented group that can cover and fill, you know, the run game as need be, traditional linebackers. I want to see Aaron Childs. He's just such a man child. I want to see him take that next step. I know he's getting some reps on the edge as well. But yeah, just a very good room, bro. Like, it's been a long time since we had a linebacker room that I've been this confident in. I have no quarrels about the production. You know, if these guys got to drop back in pass coverage, I keep seeing clips of Miles Graham making an interception in the Tulane game, which was just crazy. You know, athleticism. These guys, like I said, traditional linebackers. A couple of them played running back in high school, so that just gives them a little bit more, I would say, just vision and perspective from what the running back and how, you know, how they read blocks and whatnot on the other side of the ball. So a very good room, bro. Like, I think we got the defensive tackles to be able to keep bodies off of them and then be able to, you know, roam around and do their thing and make plays. But a very good room. I think probably the second best room on the defensive side of the ball. We shouldn't have any troubles.
Nick?
That might be. I think edge is your best room.
Right.
Let me see. I think it will be interesting to me just based on how I've seen Aaron Childs being used. My guy is gigantic. The silk Tyler Miles for Secretary of Strength and Conditioning of the United States of America. I'm on it.
Yeah.
Tyler Miles, 28, whatever the next cycle is. Guys look huge. Miles Graham looks huge. I think he plays super, super heady. Like, just knows where, like, exactly what you would want, like, a middle linebacker to be. Next to him, I think Jaden Robinson has stepped in. And it's almost kind of like, you know, I don't know that outside of being hurt, I don't know that Pup Howard's done anything to lose his job, but, like, he's been out a while, and Jaden Robinson's good enough to take it.
So you have Jaden Robinson and Miles Graham?
Yeah.
In a 4-2-5?
Those are the starting two right now.
And if they go three, Pup, Robinson, and
I don't know that Miles. I don't know if Pup's ready to play yet.
No, when healthy, if you go three.
Yeah. I think Jaden could take Pup's spot. I think the world of Pup too. Like Silk said, like, I'm kind of like splitting hairs here when I say, like, I take Jaden over Pup. Like, if you want all three of them on the field, awesome. Yeah, like, you have four guys who I would not say that I don't care, but, like, put any combination of those four out there and I'm good.
Yeah, I'm really high on Jaden Robinson. You know, I think obviously he's going to split time, you know, as needed. And I think that's fine because there's not a drop off, right, with Pup Howard. Yeah. I mean, you know, once he gets healthy and assuming that he gets back, you know, to what we saw last year, we saw a lot of growth out of him, you know, as the season went on. But, you know, there's just something about the way that Jaden Robinson came on at the end of the year that really impressed me. And then I know this offseason there's been a lot of hype about him. You know, he's kind of an unsung guy because he was a three-star, low four-star guy. You know, I think he kind of got lost in the shuffle of the big names, right? You know, Miles Graham, and, you know, Pup Howard is a guy that, you know, Florida fans want, and then he transfers in from South Carolina. You know, Aaron Childs looks like an alien out there, and then all of a sudden, you know, Jaden Robinson comes in and plays some really sound fundamental football. I'm really excited about him. He's probably the linebacker. I know it's easy to get excited about Miles Graham, but he's maybe the linebacker I'm most excited about next season, just in terms of what I saw him do. And that's not to take away anything from Miles Graham or Pop Howard or Aaron Childs or Ty Jackson or Miles Johnson or whoever plays. There's just something about Jaden Robinson. I think that he's going to be maybe an SEC name this year.
Yeah, he's almost like the Nation Montgomery of that group, right? Just a flat out baller, but doesn't have all the media attention and whatnot. But yeah, Jaden Robinson is a dog. I love the way he played last year, and, like, I'm just gonna stand. I'm interested to hear where Pup is at in his, you know, availability, you know, for the fall, his recovery, whatever that may be. I'm just interested to know where he's at. But Ty Jackson, we're not talking a lot about him, but, you know, as somebody, my guys Gators with the three Zs said, the best film I've ever seen is what Napier said about him in the recruiting process. So, you know, 5'6", 1, you got to put him somewhere on the field if you want to be successful. That's just the rules. So put that boy out there, out of the acreage, you know.
Oh,
you got
wow.
Boards and whatnot acreage? Out there. Yeah, he went to school in the acreage, man. He's out there in the sticks. But
yeah, I mean, I
everyone
think
was filthy, man.
I think, you know, at some point you have four and then you throw Ty Jackson in there. And Nick, do we know much about Miles Johnson or probably not?
No, I think probably looks like a red shirt. I mean, when you've got that kind of talent ahead of you, you know, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, Corey, I think Ty just, you've got to communicate that position. He's getting a ton of playing time right now. Literally with the twos and threes because Pup's been out. But you that's a position playing Mike linebacker. You've got to talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. The other 10 guys.
If you're in a crunch, it's Nick. If you're in a crunch,
he can
see ball, get ball. Hey, buddy.
He can tackle.
Yeah, see ball, get ball. Yeah. In a crunch. If you guys go down, even if he's a mute, even if he's Charlie Chaplin Jr., you just say, see ball, get ball, son.
Yeah, it's a really, really good room. Really talented room.
Yeah.
You have any concerns? You know, obviously you lose Shamar. You lose Derek Wingo.
They might have pushed Shamar at the door.
Yeah, I don't think that Shamar was going to be on the roster this year. I mean, but, you know, that leads, you know, there's always questions, right? Like, I know it's always great to talk about, you know, the athleticism of the room, but do you think you worry about the – probably the lack of seniority in that room. You know, it's a relatively young.
Miles is a leader of men, you know, like he got that Brandon Spikes. He's just a leader of men. I think we got the voices. We got good leadership on this football team. I think Tyree Sapp is going to be the passion leader, but I think even in that linebacker room, bro, these young boys ain't waiting to be the seniors. You know, the group that they brought in last year, that class with Miles Graham, they brought in a lot of leaders, bro. So, now, I think we got the voices there. I think we got – you can't just lead with just talk either. I think you got guys that will go out there and make big plays on the field as well. But I have no worries at the linebacker position. I could be dead wrong. We could go out there and just get our doors blowed off and look crazy at linebacker, but I don't think that's about to happen. You know, from size, like, I'm not concerned in the pass game, the run game. In the past, when we had the Diabates of the world and we had Bernie – we were so small where I had concerns like, bro, if teams start leaning on us, do we have linebackers that could shed blockers and make plays with real linebacker instincts? And we didn't have that. But right now, bro, like, I love the room.
Greg Smith is now an ACC linebacker.
What is going on? These kids, like, you got to make righteous decisions, man. You're chasing the current bag. Like, you go from being – safety 2B, maybe 3 at Florida, right? You're on the edge. You're almost going to get starter reps from what everybody's saying at Florida. Now you're in a whole new room playing for Belichick and his girlfriend.
Almost the same age.
Maybe a year.
Yeah. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
Yeah, you got to have – there's – I kind of get to see it now from both ends. Like – you've got to trust the people who are giving you advice.
Yeah.
Follow good advice.
Not everybody's giving you. You can't trust everybody that's giving you. Maybe from the team. Trust the coaches and the staff. Yeah. Trust, not everybody.
You've got to be able to trust the people you're taking advice from. And you got to be able to trust
them. Well, you got to trust that they're looking out for your best interest and not theirs, right? And you've just entered so many new people into – the factor, like when money gets involved, especially like big money, people just have different objectives for you based on what the likelihood or the chance that they're going to get paid out is. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I think you're going to see it a lot. I mean, we've seen it with players, you know, leaving Florida, maybe even coming into Florida, you know, but it's just it's a symptom of the situation that we have now. But I mean, that's the best advice. You know, I've talked about him a bunch. One of my best friends is a private quarterback coach down here in the Tampa Bay area, you know, and that's the one piece of advice, like beyond working on your craft and honing your craft and getting good grades and all that is, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are trying to enter your circle and you got to be careful about what gatekeeper you have to enter your circle. And you need to welcome people into your circle, not let people infiltrate that circle. And I mean, it's a sad state of affairs and certainly wishing the best of luck, but.
Yeah. To go from safety 3 and you know, the SEC premier program to transfer for, you know, more money, whatever.
He was a high school quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he played some safety as well in high school. Like,
you know, he played both ways. But like, I was talking to somebody in recruiting about him, and they said it was between us and Toledo, and because Toledo wanted him to play quarterback, and that's how much he wanted to play quarterback. Was like, I might just go to Toledo so I can do that. And now you're an ACC linebacker.
No, he's not even like a top. Like, he's like linebacker 5 or 6 or something crazy. He's learning a new position. And I'm going to tell you right now, bro, as a former DB, they're not – you just can't make a linebacker.
No.
Like, you just – that's a position you got to want to put your face in a lawnmower blade, bro. Like, you don't just wake up a linebacker, bro. So,
and we just talked about four guys in Gainesville who love putting their face mask in somebody's chest.
Correct. Yeah, that was a wild decision, man. I wish you would have made a better decision. We'll see how it all
plays out. So you guys are hype. You guys are hype about the linebacker group. I mean, that's kind of it. I mean, an hour and a half here. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
What you guys think about Billy's presser today? Anything? Y'all liked anything? Disliked anything? Jayden Woods is making a lot of noise. He's running with the stars. I like that part of it.
I've seen him get with the ones, like, and it's probably based on the formation, the package that they're using, but I've seen him get reps with the ones. Like, he Jayden Woods is going to play. He's going to play football. I kind of put Wiggins and Woods together. They are both so intelligent and like so grown up, more of an adult than I am, and I'm literally double their age. It's a low bar.
Yeah, very low. It's
as a compliment, but you get what I'm saying. But like, Jayden Woods is going to play significant time, like enough time to freshman all SEC kind of time. Like, he's a freak, a freak. And when Billy says they don't make him like him, yes, athletically, yes, but off the field, like, unbelievable person, awesome.
And you beat us to the media day.
Whoa, I was there before him.
You beat me.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I've ever been more impressed. I mean, that's an exaggeration here, a bit of hyperbole, but he is amongst the most professional kids, young adults, and just his size, his stature, the way he carries his weight, and then you watch him play football. I just think that he's a guy that could be a perennial All-American in his career. Like, I think that that's a guy that is going to absolutely play on and start on Sundays.
Best pass rusher since Dante Fowler. Write that down. Take a picture. I don't give up. You know the rest.
I'll tell you this. It is more strange when because I'm at practice for the full time and then doing some stuff after. It is more strange and happens less that I don't see him with a coach or with Carlos Dunlap, who's been hanging around, working on stuff, whether it's footwork, whether it's pass rush moves. Whether
you work with Dunlap too? Yeah, write it down. Get a kid the brick. Get a kid the brick. That's it, bro. I don't
know, like, it's more strange look around after practice and not see him getting in extra work than it is to like truly last guy off the field. Just an exceptional like work ethic.
But like, listen, we've talked about that edge group being maybe the best group on defense, probably the best. It is the deepest and best room on defense. And this is a freshman, and he's earning starting snaps at times. I don't think he's going to be a starter, but that just doesn't happen in a group that's that deep.
Yeah.
Very often.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be shocked if he's not getting double digit snaps a game early on.
I mean, that's a guy that, you know, I expect to play the entire second half against the LIU Brooklyn Sharks.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm in a blender about where LIU is
located. It's often an occurrence, Nick.
Absolute blender.
Yeah, no, and I've got to correct myself too. I said that Deshaun Purdy was going to go start at Wake Forest, and Brandon Connell corrected me earlier. So we each have fact checks today. Silk is batting 1,000 with everything he says being actual factuals.
Yeah, the less you say, the more you gotta, like, you know, you could be wrong.
All right, guys. Let's get out of here. Song of the week, I think, is me. I'm going to listen to this song that was recommended earlier. Something about goats, goat talk. I'm going to listen to it. And maybe we'll drop both. But I want to listen. I want to put Tyler Childers on a new album.
Grenard was a good pass rusher, but I still stand by best pass rusher since Fowler on the way. But I do like the Jonathan Grenard. He came in for 1 year and went crazy for us for sure.
Tyler Childers, I've been going a lot of house music recently. We're going to get back into our bag. Eastern Kentucky country music. Tyler Childers, song called Poachers, new album, great. That just came out a week and a half ago. So go check that out. Before you leave, hit the like, subscribe button. We appreciate everybody for watching each and every week. We will be back. We may have an announcement next week about what our fall schedule is going to be. So we're working out some details there. But ultimately, we appreciate you guys for watching each and every week. Appreciate Andy for coming on the show. And before you leave, make sure you hit your Apple Podcast app or Spotify, rank us 5 stars. All of that stuff helps us grow as we enter the fall season here. So we appreciate everybody for watching and staying or tuning in, and we will see you guys next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.